In a world where Mondays are taken over by a machine, welcome to Machine Mondays.
Hello, 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 Machiniacs and Schmodown fans, and welcome to another episode of Machine Mondays. I'm Janine the Machine, and first off, as usual, I gotta give a huge thank you to David B. for creating this awesome track for me, the official Machine theme. Thank you so much, David B., and if you want to check him out, you can find him at DavidBMusic21 on Twitter. Also gotta give a huge thank you to Kevin the Smasher Smets for that awesome voice intro. Kevin is the best, so if you want to go say hey, send some love to him, check out his awesome Star Wars KOTOR movie, you can find all of that at his Twitter, at KevSmets. But let's get into today's episode. So, we definitely have some things to discuss. I played my first tournament match, so I'm going to be breaking that down. We had some Inner Geekdom matches, some Star Wars Championship going on the pay-per-view. My faction mate Brittany Young had a match, so definitely a lot to talk about on today's episode. So let's just get right into it. So we had Saul versus Moose Haas in Inner Geekdom. This one was pretty rough. Saul, he ended up leading on Moose 8-4 going into the second round. Saul, he's all about the momentum and the intensity, so he wanted to go first going into round two. So he does spin Superman. He gets all of them correct except for the last one, the fifth question. He goes to multiple choice and misses it, but Haas does not pick up that 1 point steal. So Moose is now at a pretty big deficit, so he's really got to make up these points. He spins scores and soundtracks. He misses the first one on multiple choice. Saul does pick up that 1 point steal. He gets the second correct, misses the third, a huge 2 point steal for Saul there. He gets the fourth on multiple choice and the fifth because he needed those 3 points or it would have been over for him. So 9-19, he needs every point just to tie it. I know how that feels. And me and Jacoby, as Blackjack, when we played Deception, we were working at a 10-point deficit going into that final round, and we needed every single point just to avoid the TKO. So we definitely saw that as a win at the end. We were just kind of happy to not lose points for the faction. So definitely know what a 10-point deficit feels like. Moose, he gets Alien and Predator for his 2. He gets that correct. Transformers for his 3, correct, and then just misses his 5 on comic book movies. Pretty tough question. And Saul ends up winning by TKO. So yeah, just a really rough match for Moose in that first round. Had quite a few misses. I believe he came out of that, yeah, just with 4 points. So Saul is moving forward. I'm curious to see how he continues on in this tournament. He's kind of up and down, kind of all over the place when in terms of, you know, gameplay. Sometimes he has these really strong moments, and then other times he seems to get really intense and in his head about things. So I'm really curious to see what he can do moving forward. Then we had a match with my amazing faction mate Brittany Young and James White, my good friend. So definitely was excited to see this match shake out because two people I really, really love. So first question out the gate is actually a pretty interesting challenge. Brittany does say the beauty shop, and the answer was just beauty shop. So Shannon seems to have challenged maybe a little bit after the question. They kind of blame it on the internet lag, and she challenges it, and she also goes and looks up stuff about the movies and looks into it, which from Roxy's perspective, she always thought the rule was you can't really look at things. Managers are supposed to have their hands up. They're not supposed to be Googling or searching or looking for anything, which I also thought was a rule as well. But Christian and Mark say that's not a rule. That's not something that's in the rule book. But as far as I knew, what they were telling managers was that they had to have their hands up and they couldn't really be looking up things and stuff like that. So, I mean, 100% have Roxy's back on that thought because that's what I thought as well. But, you know, I get the challenge. If there is another movie that exists with the, then that's when something like that comes into play. And I did have a challenge like that in my match, so we will discuss it when we get there. So they do end up winning the challenge. So Brittany does not get that point for that question. At the end of the round, James does go perfect, but does not get that bonus. So it is 6-8. James leading going into round two. James, he spins John Hughes, which, you know, they kind of, I guess looking at past Wheels of Brittany's, deduced that that was probably what she put on there. So there was lots of talk about whether they take it to take it away from her and just make it a badass move or spin again. So James opts to spin again. They land on Disney, another slice that they surmise belongs to Brittany. James is also pretty well versed in Disney, so I knew he was probably going to do pretty good. He does get the first two correct, but gets the second two on multiple choice correct. Brittany, she spins 2000s. Roxy kind of talks through it with her, and she ultimately decides to spin again and gets the courtroom legal dramas. And it's a bit of a struggle. Those movies are tough. So she gets the first question correct. She misses the second on multiple choice. James does pick up that steal. She gets the third on multiple choice and misses the fourth on multiple choice. And James picks up another steal. So it is 16-9. James leading going into the final round. But Brittany, she definitely bounces back and has a perfect round three. She gets her two in crime correct, her three in family films correct, and her five in biopics correct. So proud of our girl for bouncing back in a pretty tough deficit. James gets his two correct in Oscars, and with some repeats, he gets his three in thrillers for the win. So a bit of a kind of shaky start with the challenge, but Brittany, just amazing personality, great attitude. You know, she kind of did end up stepping in once Jeff had made the decision to retire, which is something we will also discuss on today's episode. So, yeah, I appreciate the work that she's put in, you know, especially with, you know, an actor's schedule. She has been super busy. So the fact that she did as well as she did, not having as much time as she wanted to prep, is really great. And kind of stepping up when she wasn't, you know, really set to step up was just great on her end as a faction mate. So really proud of Brittany. Really happy for my friend James to get that win. Sucks, though. Another loss for the Stars. So at this point, you know, we're last place. This is how it was for me last season with the Suspects. You know, just luck is never really on my side with these types of things. So at this point, we're just kind of going out there doing our best. We're not looking at any prizes. We're not looking to, you know, gain any ground or anything like that when it comes to the faction standings. We're literally just going out there, playing a game that we love, doing our best, and trying to have fun. That is the goal that we're trying to reach by the end of this season. So, yeah, another loss for the Stars, and, you know, it is what it is at this point. So then we had our pay-per-view, so spoilers ahead. Harper versus Dimolanta, big championship match in Star Wars. Dimolanta was successfully able to defend, so was really excited to see what this rookie could do against him. Harper's been really impressing. You know, he's one of those competitors that does kind of look at the board the whole time, so that kind of does suck away some of his charisma and, you know, personality. It's hard to have those things come through when, you know, you're just kind of looking down at your board the whole time. So that's kind of rough, and I think that's kind of the mindset of the new rookies coming in. I think my faction mates in particular are rookies who really do bring a lot of personality and fun, whereas kind of other rookies tend to be a little bit too intense at times, which Harper, I think, is kind of one of those people. But, you know, it pays off for him. If that's what he needs to kind of focus in, then, you know, whatever works. So he does miss a couple in just kind of some fumbles, some missteps on, you know, adding an extra word or something like that on two questions. So it ends up being 10-8, Dimolanta leading, but he does not get the bonus. Harper, he goes first. He spins away from Revenge of the Sith and ends up getting mixed bag. He goes perfect. Dimolanta spins away from Clone Wars and gets The Force Awakens. He gets the first correct, misses the second, and Harper does pick up that 2-point steal, and then he gets the rest correct. So it is now 18-20 now. Harper in the lead going into the betting round. Harper does spin. He gets Phantom Menace, and they both bet 3 and got it correct. So now it is 21-23. Harper still leading going into the speed round. So Harper does miss one question, but gets the rest correct. So he does go down. Andrew gets everything that he answered correct. He does pass on one. He gets to go back to it, gets that one correct. But the second one he passed on, he stays passed. So he doesn't lose any points. So it is now 31 to 30. Harper still leading by one going into that last round. So it's kind of like anything can happen back and forth situation. Andrew, he gets Star Wars Underworld, which I'm assuming is a new category because I had never heard of that in Star Wars matches. But he does get his two correct. Harper gets Attack of the Clones correct. Andrew gets his three in Phantom Menace correct. Harper gets his three Rogue One correct, bouncing it back to Andrew to get that five in Villains. He does get it correct. And then it's just the belt right here. If Harper gets his five with the 1 point lead, he wins the whole thing. He gets it in Force Awakens correct, and he is now the new Star Wars champion. Definitely a tough loss when it's just so close, and you kind of come out the gate with the lead. Yeah, definitely really, really tough. So we'll see what happens at the end of this tournament. Alex has really been kind of not seen really for a while. So that means one thing, that he is working hard. Definitely really excited to see Alex in this tournament really gain his belt back and, you know, really show what he can do and why he was the champ for so long. I definitely see Alex getting that belt back and winning this tournament. So really, really excited to see what my amazing Star Wars faction mate can do. So for my match, I'm just going to kind of, you know, I do have my notes usually of how the match breaks down, but, you know, since I lived this match, I'm just going to kind of talk about it kind of on the fly and off the cuff, as it were. Playing Eric Zipper. I think I did come a little hard in my promo, but you know, I'm a face, but I'm a sassy face. So, I did want to get a little sassy in my promo and have a little fun with it. But I do love Zipper. Like he did say, you know, we debuted together. So we kind of have that rookie debut bond. Same with Winston as well. So yeah, this was going to be a really fun match regardless, but also a very intense match because, like, you know, I did say when I was on backstage that Zipper is an underrated player. You know, he plays great and people don't really, you know, I really call a lot of attention to that. So yeah, I knew I had my work cut out for me. I was not underestimating him at all. So that first round, I end up missing two questions. There is the challenge, the Raya, and the last dragon. I'm not sure why I didn't put the and. I don't know if I couldn't remember if it did have an and or not. I had seen the movie. I knew what it was, but I just couldn't remember if it was Raya and the last dragon or Raya, the last dragon. But I knew what the movie was. So, you know, fair challenge, but like, at that point, you kind of know, benefit of the doubt, if there's not going to be another movie called Raya the Last Dragon. So there's no really mistaking what it is. So I felt like it was just kind of a wasted challenge in the fact that if you know the rules, like, you're not really going to get anything out of that because there's not really a movie with a title that's close to that. So Roxy does go to bat for me on that challenge and we end up winning it and they lose their challenge. So I get to keep my point. But then I think that right after that, the next question I missed. So he misses one. I missed two. So I believe it's 6-8, him leading going into that second round. So he opts for me to spin first in round two. So I do get DreamWorks Animation. You know, that category seems very easy on surface, but when you think about it, there are so many films in DreamWorks. So I felt like it was going to be a lot for me. And I think, I just didn't feel 100% confident in that. So I opted to spin again and I end up getting Paul Thomas Anderson. I do pretty well. I get, I think, 2 correct outright, and then 1 I went to multiple choice. And for that one, I knew the answer once I got the multiple choice, but I just remembered the multiple choice wrong. I believe I thought Jesse Plemons was B, so I just said B, but Jesse Plemons was really A. So that was just a mistake on my end, and I don't think a repeat would have, I wouldn't have thought to repeat because I thought I was remembering them correctly. So the Jesse Plemons miss was just my bad of just not remembering the multiple choice correctly of the choices. So I thought Jesse Plemons was B, but he was A. So that's when he ended up getting the 1 point steal. And I did check to multiple choice, I think, on the last one. So yeah, I do pretty solid in Paul Thomas Anderson, just the one miss and he gets the 1 point steal. I believe he ends up getting musicals. No, not musicals. My bad. I'm remembering this wrong. He spun 1990s, spins away from it. He got opponent's choice, and then I gave him classics. We did have a really solid discussion about that because, yeah, I think we talk strategy really well. Some things I've been seeing from other factions is, like, they don't really talk about that stuff, like what they're going to do in certain scenarios. So, yeah, we definitely talked about giving him classics. We knew that, you know, I do host a classic films podcast, so if I could potentially pick up steals, you know, and I kind of, in researching my opponent, I know him to maybe not know classics all that well. So it was going to be a good option either way, to give it to him that, because we already felt like it wasn't something he knew well. And with my kind of base knowledge from doing my podcast, I might be able to pick up some points there. So we definitely had the conversation about that, and it actually paid off pretty well. The first question he got was the Oliver Twist question. He does say Oliver Twist, and I get a big 2 point steal there as it was Oliver. Also kind of just a great thing because it's my co-host, one of his favorite movies. So that was kind of a proud moment right there. And then he misses the Paint Your Wagon question, which, thanks to Rachel Silvestrini for always talking about this musical with Clint Eastwood. She actually did an episode, a guest episode with my co-host Morgan of the Our Classics show, It's a Wonderful Podcast, where they did talk about Paint Your Wagon. So when Clint Eastwood popped up in the multiple choice, I knew that that was the answer. So thank you to Rachel for always talking about this movie. So yeah, I was able to pick up 3 big points there. To his 1 that he stole from me. So I was able to steal my point back plus 2 more. So that felt pretty great. So going into the final round, we kind of do a whole like back and forth situation. I get my 2. He gets his 2. I think he misses his 3. And then I miss my 3 on fucking Jack Ryan. Tom Clancy hates me. So definitely, like, that's the next step to go on a whole Tom Clancy binge, because yeah, like, fuck you, Tom Clancy. Like, I missed a Jack Ryan question on my 5 in the Marisol match, and again here with the 3. So Jack Ryan and Tom Clancy just really just don't like me at all. So then he gets his 5. Really, really great pull with the Casey Lemons. And the funny thing was, that was actually a piece of trivia I actually learned earlier that day. I was kind of going through this wormhole of looking at stuff and kind of noticed that Casey Lemons always seems to play like the supporting best friend to the protagonist in these, in kind of thriller horror movies, and kind of didn't know what she had been doing really recently. And I kind of was thinking about making a TikTok about her, like, because I also really love that documentary, Horror Noir, about Black people in horror and all that stuff. So I was kind of thinking about a TikTok I could do talking about her and just like maybe like a series of highlighting my favorite Black characters in horror movies for Halloween or something like that. So I went down this little wormhole of Casey Lemons, and I learned that day that we were taping the match that she directed Eve's Bayou. She also directed Harriet. So, and the Caveman's Valentine. So I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So that was literally something I had learned that day. So when he got that 5, it was just so surreal and crazy and awesome that he knew that. Great piece of Black cinema trivia. And, you know, Winston, I'm sure, very proud when his players get Black cinema. I love how he always just gets excited about them knowing something about Black cinema. I absolutely love when he celebrates that every time. Bouncing it back to me, who got my 5 in musicals. And yeah, I just kind of, the context clues, while that question did have a lot of context clues, a lot of them were things I just didn't know. I didn't know the second male actor that they named. I didn't know that song. So the only thing I really had to go off of was Rosario Dawson. So I did use the repeat to just kind of go through my mental catalog of, okay, well, I know she was in Rent, but what other, is there potentially another musical she was in? So I kind of just run through in my head. I'm like, I mean, Josie and the Pussycats, that's probably the only other thing I could think of that's a musical that has Rosario Dawson in it. You know, I didn't know, like, literally, I didn't know what that title of that song. I didn't know. I didn't remember that being from Rent. The name of the other actor, I didn't know who that was. So just kind of Rosario Dawson in my head, and I had to think, and I'm like, I don't know, but I'm just going to go with that because that's the only thing literally I can think of her being in. So I said Rent. It was correct, and get the win. So definitely it was nice to have a win that wasn't super heavy and emotional. It was nice to not cry at the end of a match and just feel good about my skill and feel good that I'm still on this trajectory of having a good season and playing at my best and kind of still maintaining a good gameplay. But yeah, Zip definitely gave me a fight, and I was super proud to play him. And when he like pulled that joke that he was potentially retiring, I felt so bad because I'm like, no, I love you, Zip. Don't retire. But yeah, definitely a really great match to play. You know, I was really kind of, you know, trying not to get in my head about, oh my gosh, you know, there's all these expectations now after how I played. You know, if I don't get this win, then, you know, it's going to be the same old talk about, you know, I had to try to tune all of that shit out and just focus on what I needed to do and what I could do and all, and remember all the work that I've been putting in. So, yes, I could potentially be playing Paul Walter Hauser or Mike Kalinowski for the third time. So how do I feel about that? I did kind of talk about it in my post interview. Yeah, it would be cool to play Paul Walter Hauser. He's a great actor and I loved seeing him and stuff. And it would be cool to play against him. But then Mike and me for a third time, like, I just can't get rid of this guy. I would love to get some redemption and some revenge against KO, against Corruption, against Shannon, against all of them. And, you know, really just chef's kiss this season with a win against someone who's beaten me twice, who I've had this rivalry with from the start, you know, me and White Bread going back and forth all the time. So it would be really, really great to just get that win, and just, you know, check that off my list of things to do. Because I mean, yeah, he's the IG champion. He has done some great things this season, but he's also shown some really big gaps and stuff. Like in teams, Chance, this season at least, you know, I've seen, you know, it's always the joke that Chance carries him. And I've seen in their team's matches, Chance really carrying him and him just having a lot of misses and Chance kind of going perfect and holding the team up. So he's not going to have a chance there to help him out this time. So, and if he's kind of in his head about inner geekdom, I don't know how he's going to play. But yeah, I don't know how that's going to go. I would love to play either of these guys, but Mike would just be this very sweet, sweet vindication. But yeah, he's got a lot on his plate. So I think that would be interesting to just see where his head's at if we do end up playing each other again for a third time. I'm sure the promos are going to be very fun as well if that is the case. But also, yeah, Paul Walter Hauser, he seems like a really fun competitor and just like a really cool actor that's actually in the Schmodown. It just would be a really kind of starstrucky thing to play him. So I'm kind of excited either way. Either way it swings. So that'll be fun. But yeah, just proud of myself to get my first win in a round one of a tournament. I've done many singles tournaments and I've never made it to the second round. So this is my first time and I'm super excited. So whoever is next, you know, be prepared because I am preparing. So yes, definitely really, really exciting stuff to get a win there. And just a win for the stars as well. So yay. Just to get a little bit into the whole Jeff situation. So Jeff did have that really tough match with Chance. And, you know, he was just kind of heated over it and didn't want to do a post interview. And You know, after that, he kind of just came to us and said, you know, I think I'm done. I'm retiring. And he kind of just said that. And I think it was kind of in the midst of Roxy being away. So it wasn't something that really we kind of figured that much into. He just kind of put it out there. And Roxy was away, and she said she was going to maybe talk to him, see where his head's at. But then ultimately, that's kind of just the decision he wanted to stick with. So we supported that. You know, on a personal level for me, it felt a little bit frustrating just for the fact that, you know, I gave up a really amazing partner in Jacoby to step up for my faction, to step up for Jeff when he didn't have a partner. You know, I really felt proud that him and Roxy put that trust in me and really saw something in me to give me that opportunity to step up, you know, in that way. And when it kind of worked out as well as it did, I gave up Jacoby. You know, I thought me and Jacoby had some amazing potential. Like, I talked about our 10-point deficit and just bouncing back, and just our energy was really great. And, you know, we've really built up a really solid friendship in our faction. And I was really excited to grow on that and build on that. And I think I've just had so many roadblocks from last season when I just put out there that I wanted to focus on teams. You know, singles had been a long, tough road of just things never going my way and things never working out. So I wanted to maybe focus on teams. Me and Ethan, you know, got two matches into the team's tournament. We played really well together and then lost on that third match. So we didn't really get the opportunity to stretch our legs, and I wanted to get that opportunity. So there was like potential talk of me teaming with McWeeny, and then he quit. And then we got Ethan. So I thought, oh my gosh, Time Machine's going to get back together. And then they chose to team him with Guy because that was the more flashier pairing. You know, Guy is a star and I'm just me, you know. And, you know, while, you know, people do seem to love me and like me in the game, you know, my personality is not booming and, you know, popular like his is. So that's kind of the flashier thing that they wanted to go with, which, yeah, was hurtful for me, but I get it. I get how that works. Like, it's the entertainment side of things, and I'm always somebody who says the entertainment side is just as much important as the trivia side. So yeah, I knew fans were gonna love that, so it is what it was. But the fact that that didn't work out and it kind of fizzled was just kind of sucky. It felt like a little bit of a waste. So then that was another kind of just obstacle of me not getting to do teams. And then we get into this season and I get paired with Jacoby and we get along really well and we play that first match and it's tough, but we fight. And I loved that feeling of fighting with him, even though we lost. Like, the fight with him was so much fun that we just kind of, you know, stumbled through it and worked hard and like really kind of were on the same wavelength. And he was keeping me really positive and he just has an amazing attitude and, you know, that rubs off on me so well. And just are just being so excited to come back from 10 points just to lose, like, was like so much joy for me. And so when I, you know, they decided, you know, I think you and Jeff could really work well together. And, you know, with Jacoby's blessing, like, because I really didn't want to entertain the idea without talking to Jacoby, because I didn't want to ruin his rookie season or take anything away from him or just, like, you know, play games with him and be like, you know, I'm just going to leave you for this star player. So, you know, Jacoby was kind of the one saying, you know, this could potentially get you a belt. You guys played well together. I think you and him as a team makes so much more sense. So I think you should do it. So when I had Jacoby's blessing, I went ahead and we decided me and Jeff were going to be a team. So yeah, and then we, you know, went into looking, you know, Roxy and Jacoby went into looking to find him a new partner because Jacoby deserves that because he's an amazing competitor. And we found Nick. And so him and Nick decided to team up as Chaos Theory, and they work really well together as well. You know, they are doing a lot behind the scenes to really hone in on their rapport, their chemistry, and their gameplay. And it's really paying off. Like, I'm seeing them in practices and they are, you know, on top of things. So I was really happy that we kind of met that balance and we were going to have two strong, great teams. I was really excited to play with Jeff again. And yeah, then he decides he wants to quit. And now, again, I am not going to be able to focus on teams like I wanted to or play teams. And I now my former partner that I really enjoyed playing with has a new teammate. So, yeah. Is it frustrating that I'm missing out on teams again, that I, you know, stepped up for my faction? and gave up, you know, things to be there for Jeff, only for him to quit. Of course, that's frustrating. But I wholeheartedly respect his decision. You know, if that's what he needs to do, then that's what he needs to do. You know, I get how people can feel about this game sometimes. And, you know, especially when you've been doing it for a long time. So, you know, I respect his choice to leave. But on a personal level for me, it's somebody who's been wanting to do teams. I think as soon as I uttered the words, like, the universe just was like, nah, bitch, that's not gonna happen. So a little bit disheartening and a little bit frustrating that I'm not gonna get to do teams again. But I'm really excited to help out Chaos Theory, do whatever they can do to really go forward in this tournament. And again, now for Jacoby, they're playing Deception yet again. But I think that's a kind of an advantage in a way, because he sees how they play, he sees what their strengths are, and him and Nick can anticipate things better and know what they're in for, because Jacoby and me played them. So yeah, definitely just Deception all over again, but I think they're going to be ready this time. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure they're ready, because I really love them as a team, and I know they're working hard. So yeah, bummed that we're losing yet another faction mate. The Stars are kind of, you know, limping along, but we are in good spirits. We're still studying and preparing. We're last place. We're not looking at it from that perspective. We're just still, you know, preparing. We're still having study sessions. We're still talking. We're still communicating. We're still putting all the work in strategy wise and all of these things, to prepare. You know, we still have matches, we still have work to do, so we're not thinking because we're in last place, it's time to, you know, relax. We are still putting in the work. So, just really proud of the Stars, despite what the leaderboard says, and I'm excited to see what comes of this last end of the season for us, because, yeah, I'm really proud of my faction mates, they're amazing, and, yeah. So I think that's it for today's episode of Machine Mondays. Thank you guys for always just checking it out and listening to my crazy Schmodown ramblings. You know, I love talking Schmodown with you guys. So yeah, lots of exciting things to come, I'm sure. I can't wait to see how things shake out. I was actually able to go also to my first taping in LA and my first trip back to LA since COVID yesterday. So I will be kind of probably breaking that all down on the next episode of Machine Mondays. Really, really exciting stuff. Tournament season is still moving forward strong. So lots of matches to discuss. But yeah, again, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Machine Mondays. Of course, this isn't the only show you can find on the It's Wonderful podcast feed. We have Morgan Hasn't Seen, where I force Morgan to watch things he hasn't seen. Right now we are talking teacher movies, and this week we got a bit of a tearjerker with Mr. Holland's Opus. Absolutely love that movie. So, check that out on Wednesday. And of course, every Friday we have the main show, which I discussed a bit on this episode. It's a Wonderful podcast where we talk classic films, paid off in my favor in this match. So check it out. Our first episode of Morgan Hasn't Seen in this teacher series, we talked about Teaching Mrs. Tingle, and Morgan was making a lot of jokes about the Vincent Price film, The Tingler. So I said, you know what? I've never seen The Tingler. I love Vincent Price. Everything you showed me from Vincent Price, I've had so much fun with. So you know what? Let's just talk about The Tingler. So we are talking The Tingler on this week's episode of It's a Wonderful podcast. So please check that out on Friday. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we have you covered on the It's a Wonderful podcast feed. Find it all places podcasts can be found. Of course, you can find the show on Twitter at It's a Wonderful One. We also have a Patreon at It's a Wonderful One on Patreon. If you want to support us there, we do some fun things. You get monthly artwork. You can vote in polls. We are getting back into doing our bonus content. And we do fun Sunday live streams with our patrons. So if you want to help support us in that way, find us at It's Wonderful One on Patreon. Also, like this wonderful podcast YouTube channel. We do fun discussions on pop culture things, new movies that are out, TV shows. We're really trying to build that channel and grow it and do more over there. So for the first notifications of what's going on over there, hit the bell and like, share, and subscribe over there. It's Wonderful Podcast on YouTube. Like I said, find the show on Twitter. It's Wonderful One. Find me on Twitter at @JanineDeBean_. Find me on Instagram at @JanineDeBean. And if you want to get any merch for any of our shows, or check out any of my artwork, you can find all of that at my Tee Public shop at G9Design on teepublic.com. Thank you guys again for listening to Machine Mondays. I love you. You're the best. And until next time, XO, XO, Machine out.